Well, good morning.
Morning.
It's good to see y'all this morning. We have a few visitors with us today, and I'm so glad to have y'all with us today. Glad you're here. Hope you'll come back and be with us again. If you're looking for a church home, hey, we want you. So come and join us. Come and join and be a part of our congregation here and join us in our worship service. I hope everything goes incredibly well for you today. I hope you learned something along the way. I hope you are lifted up by everything that we do here today with you. This is for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is for the purpose of praising our God and Father in heaven. And so lift up your voice in prayer. Lift up your voice in praise and learn today from His Word. Now, I'm going to start off with something kind of interesting. I'm going to tell you this because people don't ever think of it in this manner. I do think of it in this manner because I have preached the funerals for people as young as the age of 2 to as old as the age of 102. As young as 2 and as old as 102. And I'm going to tell you that there are better funerals than others. There are better funerals than others. Now, in a funeral, everybody thinks about sadness. Everybody thinks about parting. Everybody thinks about not being with that person any longer. But I'm going to tell you, as one who has preached multiple funerals, so many I truly cannot count. As one who has preached multiple funerals, I'm going to tell you right now that there have been times when the funerals were very difficult. And there have been times when the funerals were praise. Praise to God. Praise to the Father. And we just had one a couple of weeks ago. Liz Hooper. Which was, and I'm going to tell you all this because the Hoopers are sitting right here. I'm going to tell you all this. That was one of the best praise funerals that I've been associated with. Why? Because we know where she is. We know that because of God's Word. We know that because of her actions. We know that because what Jesus did for all of us, who paid our debt for sin so that we might be with them in heaven forever and ever. But I also want you to know this. One of the best funerals that I ever was associated with was of a man who was 45 years old. And the reason why it was one of the best funerals that I've ever been associated with is because that man who was 45 years old used to be or was a drug addict, was an alcoholic, did everything that you can imagine in your lifetime that was contrary to God's will. He even denied God. And I want you to know what happened. What happened was this. This man was in the hospital, very ill, had basically had his liver shut down, had his kidney shut down, was on dialysis, had lost both of his legs. Very ill. And I didn't know this man at all. But what happened was I was coming out of the hospital. It was Sparks Hospital back then. It's Baptist now. I was coming out of the hospital and his sister, who went to church with us over at Valley View, caught me as I was walking out the door. And she said, "Steve," she said, "I know you don't know my brother, but he's up in the hospital in room," and she gave me the room number. And she said, "Could you just stop by and say hello?" I said, you bet. You bet. So I turned around, and we were out in the parking lot, by the way, and I turned around, I went back inside, and I went upstairs, and I introduced myself to him and told him that his sister Janice, y'all know who Janice was. A lot of you here know who Janice was. His sister Janice told me to come by and see you. And I said, I just want to introduce myself. And so I introduced myself to him, told him who I was and everything like that, and told him, said, if you need anything, just give us a call. I'll be more than happy to do whatever I can for you. And I left him my card with my phone number on it. The next time I hear from him was this. Steve, could you come get me? I want to come to church. You bet. I go pick him up at his apartment. We bring him to church. Then Janice starts bringing him to church. And I want you to know that he starts coming to church here and over at Valley View. And he switches off every week. 1 week he's at Valley View, 1 week he's here. And that man went from not knowing God at all to becoming a Christian in whom stood up for God. Without any legs, he stood for God. And I want you to know that that was of a man when he died, because he had lots of health problems. But when he died, that funeral was a rejoicing funeral. And the reason why we rejoiced is because a person who did not know God came to know God. He who was lost was now found. He who had no home now has a home. And so we could stand up before the congregation of individuals that were there who were sad because he was gone, but we could stand up before them and give them hope, because this man had a place of hope. Now I want you to know something. We will have problems on this earth. I don't care how long you live, you're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulation. Things are going to happen in your life that are going to cause you problems, that are going to cause you concerns. But I tell you that to let you know this. Your problems, your concerns, your griefs are not any different than anybody else's that walk the face of this earth. Because if we look at these two verses, these three verses, in Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 43 through 45, I want you to see this. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now look what Jesus says. So that you may prove yourselves to be the sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. The evil and the good, the righteous and the unrighteous. We will have times of sunshine, and we will have times of rain. We will have times of sleet and snow, and I'm thankful we're not going to have that this week. I'm finally going to get back on track, and I like being on track. But realize that we're going to have these times in our lives where things are not going to be good. that things are going to be struggles in life, that things are going to happen which are going to cause us grief, that are going to cause us pain, that are going to cause us suffering. But notice the difference in that funeral that I gave of that 45-year-old man and the funerals that I've given for people who did not believe. Now, I've given funerals for as young as 2 years old, and those are extremely sad funerals. Teenagers. I preached the funerals of five of my teenagers that were my students as a high school principal. Five of them. And they were incredibly difficult because they were so sad. But the ones that are most difficult, the ones that are most sad, are the ones who have no hope. If they don't have the hope of Jesus Christ, if they don't have the hope of salvation, if they don't have a hope of an eternity with God, those are the ones that are sad. Because all you can do is talk about their life here on this earth. You can't give false hope. And that's one of the things that I was told back a long time ago. I asked a great man, and I think he's a wonderful individual, by the name of Larry Bridges. Many of y'all know him. I asked him one time, I said, you know, I'm about to preach the funeral of a person that does not believe in God. And that was my first one in that case. I've had others since. But I told him, I said, I'm about to preach the funeral of a person that does not believe in God. I said, how do I do that? And he told me, he said, the first thing you can't do is give false hope. Don't give any false hope. Don't talk about from this point on with that person, but rather just talk about that life and how they live their life. Folks, there's no hope in that. There's no joy in that. I can find no hope. I can find no joy because there is no hope. There is no eternity. The unpardonable sin is denying Jesus Christ, denying God the Father, denying the Holy Spirit until death. That is the unpardonable sin. And if you do that, you can find no hope. So realize exactly what I'm talking about. There are funerals which are much better than others because these people have hope. And I can talk to you all day long about the hope of salvation, the hope of a better place. I don't worry about Liz. And the reason why I don't worry about Liz is because she's a guest, an honored guest, in the King's Garden in paradise today. But also, we just lost another one of our good people, Jan Bishop. I'm not worried about Jan. And one of the good things about this, too, is that Jan's with Jerry. Jerry just passed away just a few months earlier. Jan passed away this weekend. We got notified of it this morning. Jan passed away this week. I'm not worried about her. You know why I'm not worried about her? Because she has hope of salvation. What is sad is when somebody passes from this life with no hope. No hope. This is how we are different. We are different than those who have no hope. We are different than them because we have a Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ. We do not deny Jesus, but rather we stand up for Jesus. We do not deny God, but whether we proclaim God in our actions, in our words, in the way we live our lives. That's why James tells us, consider it all joy. Consider it all joy when you have trials and tribulations. And the reason why we can consider it all joy is because it draws us closer to God. Because we know what waits for us. A place with Him in eternity. This world has no hope. And as I've read many times before in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul is telling them there about those who have passed on before. He says, I'm telling you these things so that you will not be like one who has no hope. So you will not be like them who have denied Christ. But rather you can rejoice in knowing that your loved one who has passed on has hope. And if you read down further in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, down to verse 18, you'll see that this is the case. That there's going to be a great reunion. We all come back together. And we will meet with the Lord in the sky and we will reign with Him forever and ever. How wonderful that will be. I'm excited for the time that I can stand there in the presence of God and my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather steps up and says, hey, I'm your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. I may have miscounted my greats. How wonderful that's going to be. I have that hope. I have that joy in knowing there is a better place prepared for me, which is a home with God forever and ever. How wonderful is that time? But people who do not know God, people who do not know Jesus Christ, have no hope. All they have is here on this earth. And I can tell you that if this is all we've got, we don't have anything. We need to have hope. Look at this also. The world can find no joy. Because realize that joy is a gift of the Spirit. I once talked to an individual, very wealthy, incredibly wealthy individual. Probably one of the most wealthy individuals that I've ever met in my life. He was an oil guy, drilled oil wells. I asked him one day, how much is enough? You know what he said to me? It's never enough. My response to that, well, you give me $1 million, that'd be enough. Yeah. No, it's never enough. Because he wants more and more and more and more. And nothing on this earth can give you enough to bring you joy. Because regardless of how you live your life, a new car or a new bass boat or a new house or a new whatever it is cannot bring you the joy that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. No way in this world. These are fruits of the Spirit. Some of the saddest people I know are workaholics. There are a few in this room that work too much. You work too much. I'm going to tell you, you work too much. Go down to the lake a little bit. Go fishing. Yeah. Go hunting. Go spend some time with your family. Go spend some time with your spouse. This is where true joy is. It's not working from 6 in the morning till 12 at night. Folks, joy comes from the Spirit. And there's nothing in this life that can give you that joy. Only through the Holy Spirit can we obtain it. Notice this. I have learned, Paul says, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Kathy's over there smiling because she knows this is her favorite verse. Philippians 4, 11 says this. Not that I speak from need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I'm in. Now, one of the things that you need to know about this statement, when Paul wrote this, he was under house arrest in Rome awaiting his execution. Awaiting his execution. But he says, I have learned that I can be content. Because he says, he goes on to say, I have had and I have not had. There have been times in my life when I've had an abundance, and there's been times in life when I've been in need. But he says, I've learned this because I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Read verse 13. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Realize exactly what Paul's saying. Regardless of my situation, because I have Jesus Christ, because I have hope, because I have an eternity with God, whatever this world throws at me, it makes no difference. Because I can do all things through Jesus Christ. All things. Notice this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. God requires us to have faith in this world. Some people say, well, why does the rain fall on the just? Why doesn't it just fall on the unjust? Why doesn't it just sunshine on the just and not the unjust? It's because we must walk in faith. We read this morning about the fact that we have an adversary, and that adversary is Satan. And he goes around the world seeking whom he may devour. Folks, he's going to try to devour you. Therefore, we must walk in faith. And that faith in whom we walk in helps us through our times of trial and tribulation. Because we know that God helped us last time. Therefore, God's going to help us this time. And I get stronger as I get older in my faith. Because I look back and I see all those things that I've walked through, that I've dealt with, that I've had in my personal lifetime, and I've seen how God helped me through each one of them. And so now, when trials come, I am much more apt to say, you know what? God's going to help me through this one too. And some of you who are around my age are saying, yeah, that's right. Some of you aren't quite there yet. But you're going to get there. Because as Paul says, I've learned these things. Well, guess what? I'm learning daily how much God is doing for me. Therefore, we must walk by faith. Not by sight, but walk by faith. Knowing that God has helped us before, He's going to help us again. Knowing in our minds, in our hearts, that there is a place prepared for me. As I've told you before, there's a difference between belief and faith. You can believe something, but if you have faith, you know it. There's no question. There's no question that I have faith in God, because God is the creator of all things. There's no question that I have faith in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ paid my debt for sin. There's no question in my mind that there's a place in heaven for all those who believe, for all those who do God's will. There is a place for those in heaven. Faith teaches me that, not sight. And when I get rid of faith, it's when I see Christ face to face. When I see God face to face, and when I hear these words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."
Amen.
This is where our hope lies. This is why we can stand together. The testing of faith, James says, increases our endurance. It increases our faith. It helps us to know exactly that God is with us. God is with us. Have you ever been totally alone? I'm going to tell you, no, you haven't. God's always been there. He's always called for you. And therefore, we have this hope of an eternity. We have hope. During political season, we hear all these people talking about hope and change and how things are going to get better. I'm going to tell you, no. That usually doesn't happen. There may be some little changes, something happen, but really, things don't get a whole lot better. You know why? Because the only way things can get better is through God. Through God. It has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with government. It has nothing to do with this world. It is a side of this world. It is in God. That's where we find our hope. And so therefore, in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, understand this. For I consider that the sufferings of this world are not worthy. Ever think of that? It's not worthy. I told you the story about when I was coaching and that the umpire made a bad call. I'm not going to go through that whole story again, even though it's a good story. Y'all remember it, you're laughing. But I want you to realize something. If I'd have known at the end of the game that we were going to win the game, what difference did that call make? If I know at the end of my life that I have a place in eternity with heaven, what difference does a little trial and tribulation make here? We're going to have trial and tribulation. But realize we win in the end. We're starting a study tonight on the book of Revelation. I hope you'll come and be a part of that. Tonight is our introduction to it. And in that introduction, you're going to see and hear the whole theme for the book of Revelation. So you can just come tonight and forget about the rest of it. Yeah. The whole theme for the book of Revelation is this. Remain faithful because we win in the end. Folks, I want you to understand something. That back many years ago, because my wife made me, I watched the movie, The Bishop's Wife. Now, this is the old one with Cary Grant. Okay, and what's David Nivens. Okay. This is the old one, the black and white one. Not the new one, but the old one. Old one's always better because I'm an old one. But I want you to see something. In that movie, the angel comes down and helps that bishop to understand what's really important. I, at that point, started thinking, you know, I'd love to be able to be an angel. To come down and help people to see what is really important in life. I'd love to do that. But then I've come to the realization, we already have that. We've got God. We've got His Word. We've got Jesus Christ. What is it that's really important in life? It's to do His will. To be His child. To be His servant. To have hope of eternal salvation. This is what's important in life. And the best thing that I can do for you today, right now, is to give you the Word of God. Folks, there are people that are here today. This may be your first time here. I hope you've heard something today that might help you along the way. But also, if you have not yet confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you have not yet repented of your sins and you have not yet been baptized into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the remission of sin, you need to do so. Because you're walking this earth with no hope, no joy, no happiness. The only way you can obtain that is through God the Father. If you have a need this morning, a need for our prayers or a need for baptism, we encourage you to come while together we stand and sing.